Today we have a special treat for you. We have Kevin's brother, Brad Hunter, who will come and give us a message today. So, Brad, turn it over to you. Thank you.
This is my wife, Patty, as you recall.
Hi, I just wanted to say thank you so much for inviting us, and I just get overwhelmed.
That we get invited anywhere, so that's a shock.
True, but honestly, even your worship, thank you so much. Mm. It's just precious. And I want to tell you that this is a place of graciousness and hospitality and warmth. And it I just encourage you to, as the love of Christ pours out through you, you do draw people in and you are a light. And thank you. We do have a friend in Jesus, and I get it from all of you, too, as you share with me. Thank you also. Thank you for having us.
Amen, Patty. Amen. That's good. I would ditto that, and we can be dismissed. Put your hand on your heart, if you would, please. Just right here. As we were worshiping this morning, I just sensed that we were to pray for supernatural strength this morning. So, Father, right now, as we lay our hands on our heart, we pray that we would breathe in your strength right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Just breathe in the strength of Jesus. Oh, God, you're so faithful. You're so kind. You're so generous to us. And we pray right now, Father, right now, I just impart supernatural strength. Supernatural strength to your sons and your daughters in this place today. Oh God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's a sister right here in the third row, right here with the purple top on. I don't know your name, but I just want you to... What's your name?
Charlotte.
Charlotte. The Lord wants you to know that the work that you've been doing, He is pleased with. And He wants you to continue to do His work. And there's a harvest that's coming from your work.
Amen.
There is a harvest that's coming from the work that you're doing, from the lives that you're touching one by one. God is pleased. And be encouraged, sister. Be encouraged. You're right in the center of God's heart for you. You're doing His work. Father, we just pray for your blessing over Charlotte.
Yes.
We just pray that you would continue to strengthen her and encourage her.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray that every person that she touches would feel an impartation of your presence in their life. Lord, let her impart the love of Jesus wherever she goes. Let her be your hands and your feet, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Supernatural strength for your people today, Lord. Supernatural strength.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Can we receive that?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, last time I had the privilege of coming and sharing with you, we talked about, if you'll recall, there are no shortcuts. The Lord just wants you to know that what is going on in your life, in the life of your family, in the life of your church family, it's all preparation. And as much as you've wanted to have things happen in your time, as much as you've thought, surely this is the Lord's timing and His will, there are no shortcuts, are there? God has a supernatural timing, and He gave us numerous scriptural references We spent quite a bit of time on the life of Moses and what he went through up until he was 80 years old when God called him out of a burning bush. And he and Aaron were able to help lead the children of Israel out of the wilderness. And of course, Caleb and Ruth and Joshua, all the different folks where there is scriptural reference to, there are no shortcuts to life. And anytime anybody wants to be used of the Lord, then the Lord will be faithful, but typically not allow us to do it the way we think. So, if somebody wants to answer that and take a message for me, I'll be happy to get back to them later. But I really appreciated Pastor John and Judy's message last week as well. God's never finished with us, is He? Until the very last breath, He's never finished with us. Thank you, Lord, that You're not finished with us and that we just don't have to live out our days, but God's at work here. God's at work here. And Holy Spirit, lead us today even as we work through what I sense that You would have us focus on today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, this may be a gross generalization, but it seems that when we're doing well, we're excited to come to church. Excited to come and fellowship and worship and praise the Lord, and we like to have people see us and we like to see others when we're doing well. But when we're not doing well, typically, we want to stay away. We don't want people to know we're not doing well. Or maybe the Seahawks are playing at the same time and I don't have a DVR, so, which unfortunately is the case this morning, but we'll try to get through this. Anyway, that we think that people will think that we're not doing well and it's because of some gross sin. Because that's what we've sometimes thought when we've seen others in a broken state. Well, you know that may or may not be the case, but that really doesn't matter because we're called to love the unlovely, to bring hope to the hopeless, to encourage the discouraged, to touch the untouchables. I mean, like we haven't been there too, huh?
That's right.
The times, honestly, that I've been most sensitive to the Lord is when I've been in a broken place. The times I've been so aware of His loving presence is when I've been in a broken place. The times I've truly been repentant is when I've been in a broken state. These are the times when I realize, not just with my head, but with my heart, my soul, my whole being, that I can't make it on my own. That trying to do so has led me down a path of my own destruction. And as we know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions and not so good ones too. Boy. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn to Luke chapter 7, if we would. So many people anymore bring their phones and read from their Bible. It's kind of nice to have the hard copy with us, isn't it? Kind of nice to have this right before us. Luke chapter 7, and we'll start in verse 36. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with them. asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house, and he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus... isn't that something to, in Scripture, for all of humankind to see? The description is who was a sinner, to be referenced to your name. When she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil, and stood at his feet behind, weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet, and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." Verse 40, Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he said, Teacher, say it." There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. "Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "Well, I suppose that the one who he forgave more." And he said to him, "You have rightly judged." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Then he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." What would you do if Jesus physically showed up in this place today, right now, right here? In the prime of his ministry here on earth, he was in his early 30s. I know what I was like in my early 30s. I wanted to be somebody. I was in my prime of vim and vigor, and I wanted to be successful in everyone's eyes. I felt important if or when I got to hang out with somebody of spiritual stature or influence, just like these Pharisees. Now, a Pharisee was mostly a middle-class businessman. Therefore, they were in contact with the common man. Hang with me here. The Pharisees were held in much higher esteem by the common man than the Sadducees. Pharisees, Sadducees, Sadducees, Pharisees. Though they were a minority in the Sanhedrin and held a minority number of positions as priests, they seem to control the decision making of the Sanhedrin far more than the Sadducees, because they had the favor of the common people, the common men and women of the time. Religiously, they accepted the Old Testament, but they also held to some oral traditions, and they claimed that it went back all the way to Moses. So they added to the Word of God. They added to the Old Testament. What does God say about that? No. So Jesus continually confronted the Sadducees and the Pharisees, especially the Pharisees, when it came to this. But the Pharisees invited him to the house, so Jesus came. Jesus came to the house, and if you were in your early 30s, about the same time as Jesus, how would you feel if this guy who was the most popular man, because he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, I mean, lepers are cleansed, the lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. I mean, this is the man of the hour with all the strength and power. And he's come to my house. How great is that? Look at me. How awesome am I? I am the Pharisee of Pharisees, because Jesus is here at my table. How great is that? So the point is, they wanted to hang with this man. He was extremely popular with the common people. So you can only imagine, just think back, this house has got to be packed with other Pharisees and common people who are just hanging around on the edges, just any opportunity that they have to hang with Jesus. So I'm sure everybody was invited to show up, because the Pharisees liked the popularity of the common folk. So it's in this context that this woman, who is also a common person, a very common person, although notoriously known for her sins more than others' sins, comes right into their midst. It doesn't say that she was thrown out because of her sins. It doesn't say that she caused a great stir by her presence, at least before she begins to weep uncontrollably. Now, what would you do if someone like that came into your midst? Have you ever considered how much crying is required to wet someone's feet? Back in that day, washing someone's feet was a lot different than washing our feet, because we have it covered with socks and shoes, and we have pretty clean feet, except when I take my socks off and they're stinky. But at least they look clean, don't they? But back then, there were some pretty dirty feet that came off the fields and off the dirt roads, off the byways. Have you ever cried that much? Or have you ever been around someone who's in that kind of state? It's uncomfortable even to think about it or to talk about it, isn't it? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we're not after putting on religious facades this morning. We're just asking really tough, honest, hard questions this morning, just asking of ourselves, where are we at? Because it's, I think this word this morning is inexorably tied to the future of this church. We want to, but we don't know how to console someone who's in that place. I mean, it is an uncomfortable thing. But let me suggest that there is a reality of true brokenness before the Lord, true repentance, and it changes the atmosphere of everything. I mean, think about it. These Pharisees, and we would, at least I would put myself at that table because I'd want to hang out with Jesus. And I'll share with you. In the late 70s, early 80s, I was part of a group of people who were praying earnestly for the city of Spokane. And we had the privilege of inviting Keith Green to come and minister in Spokane. Are any of you familiar with Keith Green and his music? And he was kind of a modern day John the Baptist. You know, just a incredibly prophetic. Anyway, he accepted our invitation. There were just a handful of us who were praying earnestly for Spokane. We just felt impressed to invite Keith to come and minister. It just felt like we could break through just a spiritual heaviness, a darkness that was over Spokane. So he accepted our invitation and he came and he ministered to it was packed out. The opera house was just jammed. And he never charged admission. It was just by free will offering that you came. And he sang all of his songs and he was incredible. And then after singing, he just began to really minister. And it was a tremendously convicting word. Tremendously convicting. And all of us walked away incredibly somber afterwards. There were no standing ovations. There were no encores. It was just a very quiet house. The next morning, this small group who had prayed and gotten an opportunity to have Keith come, we had an opportunity to have breakfast with him. This is the point that I'm getting to. Well, come on, Brian. Come on, come on, come on. So we got to sit around this table with Keith and have breakfast with him. And Melody was there. I think they had two children then, two of their children. And their kids were kids, just kids. They didn't have halos around them or rainbows weren't coming out their nostrils or anything. They were just kids. And they were running all over the place. But we were sitting around this table. I remember I was just so convicted from the night before. I just felt uncomfortable because we were just laughing and yucking it up with Keith. Here we were being Pharisees at the table with this modern day prophet who had come and the night before delivered God's heart to us. We'd prayed earnestly that he would come and help us break through the spiritual darkness that was over the city. And he had done that, and he had planted some seeds, and we just were treating it like it was, okay, well, now we're going to have breakfast with this great guy, and we're going to send him on his way, and oh, good. And I just, anyway, breakfast was over, and Keith looked at each one of us, walked around that room, looked each one of us in the eyes and said, I don't see a single person weeping for his or her city. And we just broke. We just realized that the whole reason we'd even asked him to come in the first place, we had squandered an opportunity for us to follow up and see God do something. And we just treated it like a Pharisee's dinner. And he said, I remember him hugging each one of us as he went around the room. And he said, I will probably never see you again. And he just imparted to us a blessing. And it was soon after that that he died on the plane crash out of Texas. It just so impacted my life. And I realized that if someone like Jesus were to come through here physically and sit with us, how would we treat him truly, honestly? If we were honest with ourselves, how would we treat that? How would we treat worship? How would we treat a sinful woman who would come into our midst like this? Who, you know what? She was a sinner. That's what the word says. She was a sinner. So this is a woman who was filled with shame, but she didn't care. She didn't care. She just knew that she had to be in the presence of Jesus. She didn't care. The tears that were coming down, I mean, it washed his. That's how much she was crying, you guys. She didn't care the snot that was coming. She didn't care about any of that. All she knew is that she was with the King of Kings. Jesus put it this way in Luke 15, verse 7. He says, 15, verse 7. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons, Pharisees, people like you and me who do not need to repent. Heaven throws a party.
Yes,
amen. A party over one person who truly repents. In fact, this story of the sinful woman washing Jesus' feet illustrates that there is an anointing in brokenness. This woman did not do this in private, did she? She performed this selfless act in public. She didn't care what anybody thought. She only knew that she was totally broken and Jesus was the only one who could set her free. The only one, so hungry, so desperate that nothing but full-on contact with Jesus will satisfy. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, the high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One, says this, I live in the high and holy place with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble and revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. That's where God lives. He lives with people like you and me who are willing to be contrite and humble. He restores the crushed spirit of those who are humble and revives the courage of those with repentant hearts. Boy, there's a verse of encouragement, isn't there? Wow. Because of the brokenness that I've walked through in my life, I shared with you last time how Patty and I walked through brokenness when I committed the sin of adultery, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. Only Jesus could. Well, this became my favorite verse, and it's in Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David, of course, when Nathan the prophet confronts him about his sin with Bathsheba. And David is convicted right to his core and realizes this is the truth, and I've been deceived, and I've deceived everyone else. Starting in verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. I'm not wanting to add my own words here. I'm just saying that when I read this, I realize, God, you have every right to obliterate me from the face of the earth. I've done so much wrong in my life. And David is sharing the same thing. But according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. So there's a difference between sin and iniquity. Sin is the external stuff. Iniquity is the stuff that's inside. Stuff that can be passed on from generation to generation that without true repentance can still plague us in our lives. We can have it. My father committed adultery. That's not to condone my adultery. That's not to give me an excuse for it. That's just to say I had a weakness there. There was a sin that was passed. There were blessings that were passed on through the generations as well. But there were also things that we, God, he was bruised for our iniquities. You know, he took care of everything at the cross for us. All our iniquities, all of our sins, didn't he? I mean, it was just such a thorough work that God did for us. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, that the God of my salvation and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Isn't it the truth? We can sing at the top of our lungs when we truly know that we have been forgiven, cleansed, purified by the blood of the Lamb. I want to sing at the top of my lungs when that's the case. I mean, I so appreciate the worship team here because they give us that privilege, that opportunity, that they bring an atmosphere where we get to sing at the top of our lungs. I remember a good friend of ours was ministered to, and there was a prophetic word over her, and it said, "Sing, O daughter of the Lord! Sing, O daughter of the Lord! sing on key, sing off key, but sing unto me, says the Lord. Isn't that the truth? Man, I'm so off key so many times. My brother got all the blessing of the voice, but I just, you know, it doesn't matter. He loves to hear people worship him, doesn't he? He just loves, whatever key you sing in, sing to the Lord with everything that's within you. Man. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. Verse 15. Verse 16. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Boy. Thank you, David, for showing me how I can come to the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 147, verse 3, I know I'm giving you calisthenics here, but he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You think God loves brokenhearted, broken people, shattered people? Humbled people, do you think he loves sinful people? Thank God he does.
That's why he came.
Amen. Amen. Isaiah verse or chapter 61. And is it Charlotte? Is that right?
Yes.
Charlotte, would you read this for us? Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Right here. Can you? Okay. Nice and loud.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor.
Amen.
He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen. And then verse 3. Let's go one more page over here. Yeah, keep going.
Just one more.
Just right down through verse 3.
Oh.
Yeah.
And the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes.
Mm, yes.
The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Amen.
Thank
wow.
you, Jesus.
Thank you, John. Beautiful. Oh, and no wonder Jesus shared those verses when he came on the scene. Wow. That was precious. Thank you, Charlotte, for sharing that, for reading that for us. I'm all over in my notes this morning, but I just have been trying to just be obedient and listening. And so I hope it's making sense this morning. I hope we're... you know, there's a song that Dallas Holm... sang. He wrote it and sang it. And I know we've sung some Dallas Holm music here as well. But there's a song called At My Worst. And it says, at my worst, you found me. At my worst, you died. At my worst, you loved me, and at my worst, you tried to tell me that the best thing I could do would be to give my life to you. At my worst, you loved me, and now I love you too. How could you love me, Jesus? How did you know my name? Why did you save me, Jesus? Oh, I'll never know how you love me so. And I'll never see what you saw in me. How could you love me, Jesus? How did you know my name? Why did you save me, Jesus? Oh, I'll never know how you loved me so. This morning, can we be touchable? Can we be willing to touch the untouchable? Or are we going to walk across the street like the Good Samaritan? Or the story of the Good Samaritan, avoiding the one who's been stomped on by life. They're just too messy to deal with. And besides, I just don't have the time. I'm guilty. I've totally been guilty of that. Seeing someone who's been broken and wounded, and I thought, oh, I've got to get to somewhere, and I can't miss that appointment. Oh, God, forgive me. Every day, we come in contact with people who appear to have it all together on the outside. But on the inside, they're hurting units. What are we going to do? Are we going to judge them? Or are we going to unconditionally love them? Are we going to be touchable? And at Grace Christian Center, are we going to be a place where these people, these very people, your friends, your relatives, your fellow workers, your neighbors, where they can find healing and forgiveness in relationship with God and such awesome people? Get ready. God is going to bring people your way. I could almost speak this prophetically, but I wrote it down. People who appear to have it all together on the outside, but they're broken and wounded on the inside. People of all ages and from all walks of life. And if you will be open, the Lord wants to use this place and you who have been faithful in this place to bring about a harvest of souls. This word that God put on my heart this morning is, like I said, tied to the destiny of Grace Christian Center. Can this truly be a place where broken people, people who have been wounded by the church, or poor decisions, or financial ruin, or whatever the case might be, can they find words of comfort and not judgment? Can they find healing to the point where they can cry alligator tears? Tears initially of hurt, but then tears of joy for God's forgiveness and redemption through His people. Let's pray together. Let's grab a hand, in fact, if we could. Let's grab a hand across the aisle. I know it may be kind of difficult to get up and... Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, this morning, thank you for your word that sets us free. Lord, we pray this morning that we would be a place where the hurting and the wounded, the bruised, the broken can come and not be judged, but they can find healing and restoration and strength. They'll find brothers and sisters who will walk with them, however messy it is, however messy it gets, Lord, however many alligator tears are shed, it will be right there with them, one person at a time, Lord. Lord, I pray for a transformation of our hearts, that we would be sensitive enough in the Spirit to just ask the question, how are you doing? And be available to hear the answer. Lord, thank you for these precious brothers and sisters, this body of believers that love you and love one another. Lord, we pray for expanded hearts, Lord, hearts that would just grow like the Grinch who stole Christmas, that his heart grew 10 times that day or whatever it was. Lord, we just pray that, Lord, our hearts would grow and be just able to just take in more people who desperately need to know. We want to empty hell, Lord, and fill heaven. Want to empty hell and fill heaven, Lord. Yes. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. We all said, Amen. Amen. Amen.